Sing that song, if that isn't love. Amen. The amazing love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We could never describe it or explain it. I'm just glad that by His grace it was given to us. Amen.
There's no stars in the sky.
hallelujah to your name. Give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the service this morning. Good to see each one today. And hope you're wide awake and didn't oversleep like I did. But I was looking at the clock. It hadn't been set. So that threw me off one whole hour. Amen. But anyway, I believe God's here with us this morning to bless. We just desire His presence this morning. Welcome everyone. Those listed by way of internet, glad to have you listed. Let God give you a special blessing today. Amen. Let's sing this song, God's Wonderful People. I love the thrill that a few can get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that a few when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces of praising God. Heavenly places, what a thrill that a few when I get
together with
praise His name this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, it may be raining outside, but it's warm inside this morning. Believe that God's presence is here. Thank you this morning for your participation. You're sounding so well this morning. Amen. I love to hear you sing and worship the Lord. Amen. I'm asking Brother David Cockman if he'd come this morning as we take our prayer requests. Amen. Please pray for Sister Greg, who's homesick. We want to remember Sister Greg this morning. Please remember Elizabeth Clotterstead in prayer. She's having a gallbladder attack. So we want to remember Sister Elizabeth this morning as we pray. Please pray for Sister Mary Ann. She seems to be improving, so we pray she'll just keep improving. Also pray for Sister Molly. She has to stay off her foot. Hard to do, and I bet it is. So let's remember Sister Molly as we pray. Prayer request for Landa Beard. He's having asthma and allergy problems. Please pray for a distant cousin of mine. He was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Also remember his wife. She's been battling with dementia. It's getting worse. Please pray for healing, comfort, and salvation. Lord bless Sister Caitlin Sylvester. So let's remember this request of Sister Caitlin's cousin. Please pray for Sister Mary Smith having health issues. We want to remember Miles Coffey and sick this morning. Also, Lily Harwell is here with a sore throat. We want to remember her in prayer. And we want to remember my wife's nephew that has stage 4 liver cancer. So we want to remember that. We want to remember our pastor this morning. He's here. He's been sick with food poisoning. I know he's not feeling well this morning. We want to remember him. Also, we want to remember the Folgers in prayer. They need our prayer this morning. So we have a lot of requests today as we pray. Amen. Do you have an unspoken request this morning? Amen. God sees every need. Every need this morning.
Let's bow your hands. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord God, even though the clouds are above and rain's coming down, Lord Jesus, your light and sun is just shining through, Lord Jesus, and every precious brother and sister here this morning, Lord God, and Lord, we just come with you with so many needs, Lord Jesus, and we just know that we're just humbly asking your precious holy name, Lord God, knowing that you're more than able, Lord God, even from the smallest, Lord, request, Lord Jesus, and to the Lord God, you're nothing's too small, nothing's too big for you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, from sore throats, Lord Jesus, to not even cancer, Lord God, can stand in your way, Lord Jesus Christ. You're a healer of all of it, Lord God. And Lord God, you want more than, Lord, you want more than you just want us to ask, Lord God. You want to heal us, Lord God. It's your desire, Lord. It's our desire just humbly come to you, Lord God, and just praise your holy name, lift you up this morning, Lord, and we just ask that you please be with our pastor, Lord Jesus, and Lord, good poisoning, Lord, please just touch him, Lord Jesus, Lord God, we just thank you for him, Lord, and thank you, Father, that you've done for us, and we just ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I forgot one request. My granddaughter, Carrie Beth, is home this morning and wife's with her. She had her tonsils removed and we're about to leave that one out, so remember her in prayer. Amen. Shake hands as you're being seated. Let's sing I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice. I love you, Lord. Let's worship him now. And I lift my voice. family. I have a couple announcements to make as he gets ready. The adult choir will practice next Sunday, March the 18th at 3 p.m. And also the children's choir will also practice next Sunday at 4. So remember that. And also March the 24th, that'd be two Saturdays, I believe, away. We'll have a work day here. Need you to bring your rakes, shovels, and wheelbarrows. We always need wheelbarrows, so remember that. And if we get enough people, it won't take us a real long time, I don't think. So just if everybody that can will come out and work at Saturday morning, we appreciate it. Amen.
I'm going to warn you, we haven't practiced this together in a while, but so there's no telling where it'll go. But I don't know about you, but for me, it is just a real joy to serve my Jesus. I love living for Him. So just pray for us.
Serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real.
When I received salvation, I felt such jubilation. When Jesus came and washed my sins away. Strength and power to face my midnight hour with all my heart and soul. I now can say,
my, what a joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real.
Now Jesus is my Savior. He gives me love and favor. He's my Redeemer, Master, Lord, and King. Down here I tell the story, and I'll give Him all the glory. He brought me out and gave me a song to sing.
Joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real. I know it's real. My.
What a joy to serve my Jesus.
Oh, that unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's
Thank you, Brother Keith and family. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. We may have to fight battles, but there's nothing like that peace that He gives to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song at Calvary this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we take our offering, let's sing it.
Years I spent in battle. And cry, carry not my Lord crucified, knowing not it was for me to die. There was great grace was free. All
Hallelujah. Let's stand as our ushers come this morning. Let's sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Andy, if you'd pray with the offering this morning.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here for the one reason.
Yes, we thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glory, a glory divine. I'm an heir.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning just for a moment. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And certainly good to be in the house of the Lord today. And always good to be able to come and hear God's Word and be able to study God's Word. Especially on days like this. I don't know why it affects me, but days like this is just nice to come aside and be able to study and enrich ourselves. And that's always a great blessing. Just a couple of things here before we move on to the next part of the service. I just wanted to mention again that Brother Anwar and his family are planning to leave after church this morning in New York, and they're going to be driving over, be here tomorrow evening. That's what his original plan was. So we want to remember them in prayer for sure. They're going to be staying at the same place they were, Creekside, where they were living before. They've got a place secured there. Also, too, we want to remember Sister Shirley Lingle. I couldn't get her this morning, but I've been talking to her through the week, and her husband is in rough shape, but he's been in this shape before. He's dipped down before and come back again. So I told her we would just continue to pray for her, and that's the best thing we can do. He's got good care, and his body is just giving out. So we sure want to remember him in prayer. Sister Mary Smith not here today, and they're still testing her, I believe, for possible mini strokes is what they originally had said, and then her knee is a problem. That's an ongoing one, and we just want to remember Sister Mary Smith in prayer. We sure miss her, Brother Smith, and we'd like you to convey that to her. We sure do. Also wanted to say, too, that Lucas almost became a registered citizen of Chivac. This time he passed 2 out of 3 requirements, but he didn't get the third one. And the first one was to eat raw whale meat, which he did, and then poke fish, which I won't describe. And then the third thing was that the coveted harbor seal is what the Eskimos kill up there, and they use it's a magnificent animal, and they hunt them in certain seasons of the year, May and March, April, May. And when they catch one, they bring him into the town, the village where they catch him, and they open it up right away, and they take the liver out on a stick, and they bring it to the whole community. All the elders get together, and they chop that up, and they eat it. And he didn't get to do that. 2 out of 3 is not bad, though. I just want to say this, that, you know, it sounds strange and it sounds bizarre that people still live like that, and they do. But I will tell you this, that they really enjoyed the visit this time because they are so isolated. It is so far up there, and not having people pass through, because you don't pass by Chivac by accident. You don't get lost on the highway and pass through Chivac. It takes a long time to get there, and we ran into weather and one place and another. And down here, when we travel, it's kind of like if you miss a plane, well, you just get the next one. But up there, if you miss the plane, there ain't no other one. And it's a big deal. And when weather grounds the plane, it's just a real challenge. To be able to try to rearrange schedule flying, and we were going to come out on Friday. We're going to stay in the village until Friday, and they had to forecast that bad weather was going to come in. So I felt like, you know what, we should change our plan and come back on Thursday instead of Friday, and we come back to Anchorage and hold services there. And so we did, and on Friday, sure enough, they had a massive whiteout. Means that nobody can take off or land from the airstrip there. And so everyone was locked in on Friday. So we were already out, had gotten to Bethel. But when we got to Bethel, they have low-lying frozen fog, which is a strange thing, but it builds up on small planes. And we heard the planes above the fog buzzing around trying to find a place to land, and they couldn't do it. So they just go to another airport, and you're stuck. And that's just the way it is. And it's a challenging way to travel for sure. And, you know, I don't mind that. We Lucas, a great traveler. He's a real trooper, and you know, you roll with the punches because you ain't got no choice. Nobody to complain to, that's for sure. And so we did really good. And then just in the last day, I must have eaten some that didn't. There's a lot of issues up there with food safety. A lot of issues, and it's very often you just got to be real careful up there. And I must have eaten some the other day, Friday, and I'll tell you what now, it's been rough. But by God's grace, I'm here because I wanted to be back today, and we wanted to have Brother Steve to come and minister this morning. And I never knew this, being up there. Steve was up there the last time since I've been there. And the brothers up there were just sharing how he had ministered to the folks up there. And there were certain situations that he didn't know anything about. And I don't think he even knows this, but there were things that were going on that he didn't know anything about. But the Lord used him just to minister to those people up there and really specifically help people right where they were, because they were going through different. One of them had gone through real tragedy in their family, and it was something that he didn't know anything about, and came in and ministered to the people there, and it was just a real blessing. And to me, that's the real evidence that the Holy Spirit's at work. When, and this is what's important. It's never important that we impress people, and everybody says, "Wow," that's not what's important. What's important is that there's a connection between the Holy Spirit and the needs of the people through the ministry of the Word. That's what's really important. And when you can get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit take you to meet the needs of those people without even knowing anything about it, that's real ministry. To me, that's real ministry. And I really appreciated that. So yesterday when I was thinking about suicide, I thought, I'll just ask Steve, because him and Sarah were going to be in Newfoundland this weekend. They were going to be away, but they stayed and were a great help to Sister Becky. And so I asked him to take the service today, and trust you'll be blessed. I feel like we will.
Yeah,
and so we appreciate that very much. And so we're going to invite Brother Steve to come this morning and take the service. So why don't we stand to our feet and let's sing that little chorus, "Have Your Way." I appreciate these young men and their love for the message and their zeal in teaching the message and staying in the balanced way. That's not easy today. That's not an easy thing to do, and I appreciate their zeal for doing that. So let's sing that this morning.
Have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way as we wait.
Sing it again now. Just make it your prayer this morning. Have your way, Lord.
Oh, have your way.
bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you have given us this morning. We thank you so much for where you have brought us to. And we are assured of this one thing, that it is you and you alone that has brought us this far. And I pray that you'd help us to be, to remain assured of this, to stay in confidence of this, that it will be you that will bring us the rest of the way. And Lord, it's in your presence in these brief few moments this morning that we place our lives and our hearts and our minds. We pray that you bring us one step closer to you in whatever way you would desire. We give this service to you, and as best as we know how to do, we move ourselves out of the way. We love you and we thank you. We give this service into your hands. And in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do we pray. Amen and amen. I mean, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You can take your Bibles if you would. Thank you, musicians. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, let's start at verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. If you would, let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. And this is at the time when Jesus was foretelling of his betrayal. And so he comes and he's talking to his disciples here. And in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another." You can have your seats. Thank you. I was thinking this morning how much I love the Bible. I think so many times we take the Bible for granted, but you know, this is such an expensive book because there are so many lives that were given, so many lives that we'll never hear about, or we might not have ever know. We'll never know probably till the other side. The amount of lives and the amount of the blood that was shed so that we can have this book and open it and hear the Word of God and to receive from God, from the Holy Spirit, operating on the basis of His own Word. We'll never understand the price that was paid so that we can have this book. We should never take it for granted. They were said on the radio a while back, they said, Billy Graham, he said, if you went to Billy Graham's house, he said, you'd be doing one of three things. You'd be reading the Bible, you'd be praying, or you'd be watching Larry King live. He said he loved Larry King live and he was good friends with him, so he said he was always focused on that show and he wanted to watch it. But he said if you were there, you'd probably be most likely reading your Bible, you'd be praying, or you'd be watching Larry King live. I see a commonality in all great men of God, and that's that they read their Bible. They consider this to be a precious thing. And I think that, I put myself at the forefront of this. I don't think we give it the respect that it's due. I don't think we read it enough. I don't think we consider it to be as precious as it really is. I don't think we give it enough attention. I think in order for the Holy Spirit to bring you to the potential that you really have inside of you, which you all have amazing potential, you need to read the Bible. You need to treat it with the dignity that you treat the other anxiety and worries that you give attention to. And I think if we give the Scripture as much attention as we give our anxieties and our worries, we'd be a much better people than we are today. I think we need to read the Bible. I think we need to make time for it. I think we need to make time for a daily devotion where it's just us, the Holy Spirit, and Him. It's just us and God. It's nobody else. And you bring your Bible and you lay it down before the Lord and you say, Lord, have your way in my heart. And we do so much of the talking when we pray oftentimes. But I think it pleases the Holy Spirit when we just bring our Bible, we lay it down before Him and we say, Lord, have your way with me. And you pray before you read your Bible, Lord, move on the Scripture that you need me to hear. Move on what you have for me today. Move my mind where you want it to go this morning. Because if you don't, then Satan will move it where he wants it, and then you're going to be a mess for the rest of the day. I think in order to be effective in each and every day that you are given, which you'll never have another one like you have today. Each and every day is a gift from God, and it's something that you should not take for granted, and it's something that you should use effectively. You need to use each day that you have effectively, and not just exist, or just go about the day with like a zombie, like we all do. You should wake up in the morning, should open your Bible, and you should read, and you should pray, Lord, thank you so much for this day. I think the Bible is one of the most precious things that we have. This is, in 1 Timothy, we see Jesus here talking to his disciples. But then we see here, in 1 Timothy, this is the elder talking to the younger as it should be. This is the elder speaking to a younger minister, the things that the younger minister needed to hear. This is the way it should be. And what I love about this is that Paul really genuinely cared for Timothy. Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. He understood Jewish law. He understood Jewish traditions. But he was also a Greek. So Paul had a lot of connection with Timothy because he understood that variety in the cultures that made him into who he was. So he says to Timothy, he says, just watch out for this and watch out for this doctrine. And this is his opening letter and the first letter that he wrote to Timothy. And he said, be careful of this, be careful of this. And then he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. That's what we're really after, is godly edifying in faith. And now the end of the commandment is love. He uses the term agapo love. The end of the commandment, the end of the instruction, the end of everything that I am giving to you. This is not necessarily that Paul is making a new commandment as Jesus made a new commandment, because Jesus was the Word, so he could give a new commandment, and it could be the law just as much as the law was originally as it was. But this is Paul saying, I give you this is the end of all my instruction and all of my teaching to you. This is everything that you need to be concerned about wrapped up in one phrase, is what Paul is teaching Timothy. So instead of saying you need to do this and this and this and then and this, he says at the outset of his letters to Timothy, at the outset of his instruction, all of this is really important, but this is what the end result will be. This is what you should have produced as a result of all of the instruction that I am about to give you. So he prefaces his teaching and his instruction with this phrase. The end of the commandment is love, agapo love, divine love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Amen. Faith unwavering. Faith that does not shake from one side to the other. But love out of a pure heart and of a pure conscience. A good conscience. A conscience that does not offend you. A conscience that when you come before the Lord, you can say, Lord, I have done the best that I can do. And many times your best gets in God's way. It really does. When you say, well, I've tried to do the best that I can do, I've tried to put down the best that I can do, many times that just gets in God's way. If you would first yield yourself to the Holy Spirit first and say, Lord, have your way. And then you go with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Wherever He would put you, then you do it the best that you can possibly do. But when you try to do your first before the Holy Spirit leads you, when you go before you are sent, then you have a lot of issues. Love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. Karl Barth, which was a theologian, he died in 1967, and he was known to have done away with a lot of the traditional theology that was around at that time. So he was around when Brother Branham was around, but I don't think there was any interaction between the two. But Karl Barth was once asked, because he was a magnificent thinker and a theologian of his day, and he was asked, what's the greatest thought that you have ever had? And his answer was simply this: Jesus loves me, this I know. He said the greatest thought that I have ever been able to comprehend is that Jesus loves me, this I know. In Ephesians 5:25, very familiar scripture to the bride and to us who hear the things that we do. Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ, Jesus, loved the church. He loved the church. And he loved the church so much so that he gave himself for it. Now, it says that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth on him shall be saved. Now, there's a difference between being saved and being born again. He says, God was not willing that all should perish, but that all should come to him. He was willing that many would come to him. But as Arthur Pink said in The Sovereignty of God, he said, if God had only set it on the basis of free will alone, without election, and he said, whosoever will can come to me, then how could he have been sure that anybody would have come to him? So he had to predestinate a people. He had to set forth election to predestinate a people to fulfill that portion of Christ which was missing because he gave it to them before the foundation of the world. He had to bring unto himself all that he had given so that he could be complete once again as husband and wife together, as the bride and the bridegroom, the invisible union of the bride and the bridegroom coming back together as one. So he had to predestinate a people. He had to set you forth on the basis of election so that he could bring you back together with him. And so he did. But in this scripture it says that as a husband should love his wife, you should do that just like Jesus loved the church. Just like Christ so loved the church because he gave himself to it. And the scripture says that there is no greater love that any man can have than that he would give himself for a friend. And in this same action, in this same fulfillment of the law, in this same fulfillment of his very own word, he gave himself for that portion of which he lost so that he could redeem them back. It was love that did that. He loved the church. In Colossians 3:14, he's going down through the stature of a perfect man and these different attributes of God. And it says in verse 14, and above all these things, above all of these things, and he's laying down these principles and these virtues and all of these attributes of God. And he's saying, above all of this, put on charity. Put on, literally, take on and put on charity, love, agapo love. Put this on, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, I've had the privilege of being able to see the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world. I believe it's still the tallest building in the world. The Saudis are giving them a good run for their money, but I believe at the moment the Burj Khalifa is the tallest building in the world. It is astoundingly tall. If you step back, and we were about, I'd say, a quarter mile of away, if you have a camera and you're trying to take a picture of the whole building, you can't get it all in your lens. It's just so high. It's amazing. So when you look at the, I had first gone to Dubai before I had been to New York City. So I saw the Dubai skyline, which is amazingly tall building and all of these other smaller structures. And then when I went to New York City, I came in LaGuardia and was coming down, which you get a pretty view of the city. And I was actually like, is that it? The New York City skyline, because it was just, it disappointed me is what it did. The New York skyline disappointed me because I had seen these amazingly tall buildings, and then I went to New York and it was not as tall. But in all of these buildings, every single one of them, there's something that holds them together. Because you can't have a building, like this without having some method of adhesive, of bonding, of something that holds the entirety of the structure together. You've got to have something that holds it together. You've got screws, you've got nails, you've got nuts and bolts, you've got all of these things, you've got glue that holds it all together. Without the adhesive, a stiff wind would come up and it would break it all apart. It would literally just dissipate into the air. And these great big buildings, they're so tall, it boggles the human mind. And yet they have the simplest little thing that's holding them together. Whether it be concrete or rebar or glue or nails or screws or whatever it may be, you've got this massive structure and these little adhesives that are holding them together. Paul says to the Colossians, put on charity, because it is the bond of perfectness. The goal of the fivefold ministry is to create unity. Unity in the faith. So I was with Brother Andrew Boy Scout up in Alaska, up in Chivac, and I asked him, I said, what is the one, why are you so successful in this church? Because out of 998 people in the village, 40 of them are believers. So you have about a 4% basis of the population of that town that are believers. As far as I know, that's the highest concentration of believers anywhere in the world. Because there's 998 people in the city, and there's 40 believers. So you have this, and he's held it together for so long. And I asked him, I said, what is the key to your success? Why is this church thriving? Because you'll preach to them and they just eat it up and they understand the message and they're just on fire for the things of God. And I said, what have you done? And he said, I haven't done anything. He says, I just get good ministers through here. I said, really? And he said, and I begin to ask him, okay, who have you had through? So he begins to name off and everybody's been there. Everybody. I thought, you know, I was, you know, out in the barren lands, you know, just me, but everybody's been there. And I begin to hear the ministers that had come through, most of which, if not all, have been through here. And he began to say, it's not me that's held this church together. It's the fivefold ministry coming through that has preached the word in the variety that the Holy Spirit uses to do so. And that has kept the church instructed and improved and together. And he said, that's what the success of this church is. Not me, it's the fivefold ministry. It's the Holy Spirit using different men and different personalities and different varieties to speak to his bride. It would be horrible if every preacher preached the same. It would be horrible if every preacher had the same experience level. I listen to some of the older ministers sometime, and I go back over my own sermons, and I think, my goodness, I actually said that from a pulpit in front of all of these people. I'll tell you what, you may think Brother Stephen is riding the coattails of his father or his grandfather. That is the farthest thing from the truth. I'm here because I have a calling on my heart, and that's all I have. You know that story of the boy who was riding on the board, and it was a contest, a bike riding contest, and he had the it was a long 2x4, and they said if you rode across that 2x4 without falling off, you get the new bike. So all of these boys, one after the other, were riding across the 2x4, and they were falling off and slipping off, and they didn't get the bike. Well, there was one little boy that was riding across, and he began to look down, and he began to wobble, and then he just held his head up and looked straight towards the end of the goal, and then he kept on going, and he rode right across that 2x4 and got a new bike. And that's exactly what I have to do, because if I look at the way I look or the way I sound or the way that I prepare my sermons, then I get real wobbly and I get no confidence at all and I'll just quit. But I can't do that because I didn't ask for the calling and I didn't ask to be the way I was. I just have to keep going and just have confidence that God knows what he's doing and trust him. And it takes a lot of trust in my case. So regardless of the criticism, regardless of what it is or the whatever it is, I just want to fulfill the calling that God has given me. So I just have to keep going straight and just disregard everything else, including myself. And I think that's what every single one of us has to do. Because if we start to look at ourselves and look at the things around us, we'll start to get wobbly and all over the place. You just look at the cross and keep looking forward and just ride straight on through. And the same God who began a good work in you will finish it and bring it through to the end. And you have to believe that. The whole bond of the church that we have is held together at its most, at the smallest parts to the greatest of its parts, is held together by a bond of charity, of agape love. There is one thing that we have to understand, and there's one thing that you have to, there's one statement that I want you to get this morning. There has to be a distinction made and an understanding of it between the local church and the group of people in this building and the group of people in all of the buildings and all of the churches that are gathering on this morning, between that and the true church of the living God. There has to be a distinction made and an understanding of it in your mind, personally, of this local church and the church of the living God, the kingdom of God. And when there is an appropriate understanding of this divergence, and that this is not the church that you are, that saved you and that bought you and that set you free, but it is Christ and his church that set you free and that bought you and that brings you forth. When you have a correct understanding of that and an understanding of the distinction between the two, then you can become a better kingdom, a better citizen of the kingdom of God, not just of this church. You can be a better, you can be in better relationship with the kingdom of God and the authority over it, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which in turn will enable you to be in an appropriate relationship with the local church. When you are a better citizen of the kingdom of God and you have an understanding of the distinction between this local church and the church of the living God, then you can in turn be a better citizen of this local church and you can be a better member of this church. You have to have a distinction between the two, that this is not just the church. The church is Christ and he is the authority over his church. And just because you are associated with this church does not mean that you are in the message. There are a lot of message churches, many of which reside in Hickory, North Carolina. Not all of them I would consider to be message churches. Just because you say that you're in the message church or that you associate with the ministry of Brother Branham does not make you in the message. The message is Jesus Christ revealed to you personally, who he is to you, what he has done for you, what he has done for his church. And he so loved the church that he gave himself for it. He gave himself for the church of the living God, not just this establishment and this particular group of people. He gave himself for the church of the living God, the kingdom of God. And it is that kingdom which we are citizens of if we have been born into him. It is that kingdom that we need to become better acquainted with and become better citizens of, so that in turn we can become better citizens here. And when that distinction is not made and we have a foggy idea of it, then we will simply try to be just good citizens of this local church and then all trouble will erupt. Because of the many attitudes and the issues that we all have, All manner of problems will be associated with that without a clear distinction being made of the Church of the Living God and how I am subject to that church first. And in turn, if I have an appropriate relationship with that one, God will place me in this local church and everything will bond together in perfect adhesiveness because Christ is the bond. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is love. And love is the bond of the unity of the faith. Love is not the unity. Love is the bond of the unity.
Amen.
God calls us to be separate from the world. So there has to be an understanding as well of the church within and then the world without. The church within is the kingdom of God. The church within is that individual relationship that you have with Christ. It is you and Christ alone, and that is the kingdom of God. Because this church could burn up and fade away, and all of us could just wander off. Would the church be no more? Absolutely not. You are all members of the kingdom of God. I hope we all understand each other. And because of that, then we have unity with each other. We have unity one with another in the Spirit of Christ because we are all baptized into one Spirit. Paul says, now why do you think that you're baptized into this man or that man or this man? We're all baptized into one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is the church within and there is the church without. We are members of the church within and God has placed the local church in sovereignty. And because the Holy Spirit is the authority of the church, the Holy Spirit is that which delineates what he needs in certain areas of his church. What will happen in Georgia may not happen the same way in North Carolina. What will happen in Chivac will not necessarily happen in the way it is here. I was in one church one time and I was praying for a sister, and it was a very small church, and they didn't keep very good hold of their kids. And I was praying for a sister at the front, and a little boy ran right through my legs. And another little boy came right behind, right in between the lady and I, chasing him. And then I looked at the parent, because the parent was sitting on the front row, and I was like, you know, hello. And the parent was just, okay. And he grabbed the kid and just sat him on the chair. As soon as he sat him on the chair, the kids were up and ran out in the back, and they were playing in the back. A few things out of order. That's not exactly like we do it here. Unity is not exactly uniformity. Because we are not uniform in the way that we dress. You understand? We do not have the same kind of music like they do in the northern states. The northern states definitely do not have the music like they do in the southern states. Does that make the two a differing of one another? Does that mean that one has more of the Spirit of God and one has less? Does that mean that God is any less capable of speaking in one than he is the other because there is a divergence in the uniformity that they have? Absolutely not. Unity does not imply uniformity. God is a God of variety. He has all kinds. And as the love of God is projected to the church of the living God, that variety plays itself out just like it wants because it's the Holy Spirit leading the church as the authority of the church. Now, as such, in order to keep the unity of the Spirit, he places the local church in a place of sovereignty, separate from one another, in a sovereign place, so that as the authority, the Holy Spirit can lead the pastor, can lead the congregation into where he wants them to go. So he leads the pastor by the leading of the Holy Spirit so that he can bring the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith by the leading of the Holy Spirit in the midst of such contrast and variety that we have. So he sets the church in local sovereignty, and that's why each message church is sovereign in its own, and that is why we are not a denomination, is because God has to work with different people in different ways. And so he sets the Holy Spirit as the authority of the church, and then he sets the local church in sovereignty so that the congregation and the pastor together eventually get to where God wants them to be. It's the Holy Spirit leading the church. We are called as a church within,
But there is a world without. And now, as a prophetic ministry in this age has revealed it to us, we have been called out of the world. Come out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. So we are called to be separators, just as it was with the children of Israel. They were called out of the wilderness so that they could be separate. Come out of her, my people, and be ye separate. Be not partakers of her pleasures. So we are separated and we are different from the world in the sense that we are led by the Holy Spirit, not by the world. In order to be led, we have to be separated. So God said, you have to be separated. Abraham was separated. Moses was separated. All of these men and all the way up until now, all children of God have to be separated and dead to the world. In order to be fully separated, you must first die to what you first knew. So death has to happen. You have to cross Jordan in order to be in the promised land and to possess your land. You have to have a death to self. You have to go across from that land to the new land. There has to be a separation. But the church within, when we are separated, we are brought into a place where the Holy Spirit can move on us. We are brought to a place where we can be the Godhead bodily. We are placed because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we, in the sovereignty that God has set it, come and sit in a church like this, through faith, we receive our faith through the preaching of the word, which brings us to the unity of the Spirit, which is not uniformity, it is the unity of the Spirit. So as we subject ourselves to the hearing of the word, it brings the faith that we need to do so that we can be greatly associated with the kingdom of God. So the whole purpose of this is that we would be associated more so with the love of God. He says the entirety of the instruction that I am going to give to you is that you would have love out of a pure heart. And faith unfeigned and a good conscience. This is the entirety of the commandment that I am giving you. And Jesus said, I give to you a new commandment. And he says in another place, actually the entirety of the law is summed up in the entirety of the commandments is summed up in this in one thing. That you should love the Lord your God and that you should love one another as Christ has loved you. This is the entirety of the goal. This is what we're going for, is the love of God being in the church. And that cannot happen any other way than a sovereign church being led by the Holy Spirit so that faith can take root in their hearts and souls. So that revelation can take place because faith is a revelation. So when they have faith, they have the revelation, and love pushes faith out onto the forefront. It is love which pushes faith out into the battlefield. And so we have these things and we have the church within. We were called and separated out of the world so that we could have this. But separation does not imply isolation. Although the two are synonyms, isolation is different than separation. Because we are not isolated, because isolation will most likely produce uniformity. And God is not after uniformity. He is after the unity of the Spirit. The bond of unity is charity, love. So he is after the unity of the faith. And so as he brings us as the church within, as the church of the living God, I'm not just speaking about this local church. I'm speaking about the kingdom of God. Believers all over the place, all over the world. Just because you're in this church does not mean that you're in the message. So the unity of the faith, as he brings us to that, we have a revelation of where we are supposed to be in the kingdom of God. And that brings with it a separation. Because if we're not careful, we preach separation, we will separate by legalism. So we will become legalistic separators, which is not what God is after. God is after people who are led by the Spirit of God. The sons and daughters are led by the Spirit of God. So, as we move towards the unity of God, we are not separators by legalism. We are born into the kingdom of God, which takes the desire for the world out and sets in us the desire for a separation. We no longer want to have anything to do with the world. The world is dead to us. Behold, all things are made new, and we are new creatures in Christ. You see, the desire for separation comes as a result of the association that we have with the kingdom of God, not with a local church. And if we don't make that correct distinction, then we will have a legalistic mindset of separation by association. That can cause isolation. Because isolation is not what God is after. The Amish are isolated. And as a result, they have produced in themselves something that is not right. God says, and I don't remember the exact verse, but I'm paraphrasing. It's in Proverbs. And it says that a man is just going to be a man who seeks his own wisdom and subjects himself to isolation is going to be led astray. So we are not isolated in that we are completely separated from the world. God calls us out of the world only to give us a commission to go back out into the world and preach the gospel. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Him. So He set some in election to go back out into the world and be a light to the world to show them the love of God. Because the Holy Spirit is love. So when the love of God comes into the hearts of His church, they project that love out onto the world and it becomes grace to the world. Because when divine love is projected, grace takes its place. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. As the scripture says, when He projected His divine love through the Son, then we see that grace took His place. And we went from the dispensation of law to the dispensation of grace. This is the greatest mystery that you will ever, ever comprehend is love. Because you can comprehend all the mysteries. You can comprehend all of the things that we do not understand in the message. You can understand everything in the message and have all of the mysteries just down right. You can have the gift of prophecy and not have love, and you are nothing. That is why Paul was so adamant to Timothy, this is what you've got to get right. This is what we're trying to produce. Love out of a pure heart, not just something that is fake. We are called to go back out into the world and be a witness of the Lord. Is that right? We are not called to isolation. We are separated as a result of our association with the kingdom of God. And as the Holy Spirit leads us and separates us and makes us pure and takes us away from the pleasures of the world and everything that is associated with it, we go right back out into the world and work in it and live in it and have friends in it and all these things. And we are the light of the light of Christ to the world. You're not going to get there by works. As I said a few weeks ago, it's not what you do that gets you there. But your works is God's way of showing Himself to the world. Because as God expresses Himself through you, and that was His object in the bride, was to express Himself through us. As He expresses Himself through us, He shows to them what the love of God really is. So we have the church within, and we are called to love. We are called to love the brethren, as the scripture says in many different places. But we also have the world without, and we are not called to isolation. We are called to separation and called right back out into the world to show the light of God. It says, be not partakers of its evil, of its pleasures. We still are separated, standing in the midst of Laodicea. We are separators standing in the midst of Satan's Eden. So if you're standing there and you look and you talk and you act like the world, then they're not going to see anything. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul was he was talking to Timothy and he was getting a little bit more personal as he does towards the end of his letters. And he says in verse 10. And he's just pouring his heart out to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. This word in the Greek is agapo. So we know, and just for the sake of our maturity, I'll just refrain from going on the base level. We know that agapo love is divine love. It's unconditional. It's a godly love. Phileo love is a love that we have one toward another. It is a brotherly love. It is affectionate love that we would have. And then there's also different types of conjugations for the Greek. Love, agapo, agape. There's all different kinds of things. But then there's eros, which is an intimate love. And then there's storge, which is a passionate love that you'd have for your spouse. So there's all different kinds of love. But we know that agapo love is what the Scripture affirms in referring to the love of God. The love of God is unconditional. It is divine. It is without fault. It is agapo. Phileo, we can have a phileo, but Brother Branham says that many times phileo can lead you to lust. It is phileo type of love that will lead you to lust. So we have phileo, but we must have agapo. And this is the divine love that Brother Branham is talking about. Demas forsook Paul, having agapoed this present world. Because of what Demas did is that he mixed up his affection for the world for his affection with God. Brother Branham said, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. He says, I have to love God first. And he says, all the invitations that I get, and even my wife and all the things that I have to be careful that my love for them does not contradict my love for God. He says, because as a servant of God, I subject myself to the Spirit of God to go where He wants me to go, despite the affectionate love that I have for those around me. He says, many times, I'd like to go to dinner with you. I'd like to go to lunch with you. I'd like to do this, but I can't because I've got to go this and this and this. And all of the things that he did, and when the third pull came, Brother Branham, nobody loved better than Brother Branham. Brother Branham was doing the long prayer lines and doing all that he could before the third pull came. The third pull made it easier for him to pray for a large amount of people. So he still wanted to pray for the quantity of people that he wanted to do. He wanted to preach the quantity of services that he wanted to do because he had a love for the people. God gave him the ability to do more of it, but he still wanted to do it before because he had affectionate love for the people. He had divine love operating in his soul, agapo love. And that projected out onto the people. But Demas agapoed the present world. The love that Demas had for the world contradicted his love for God and, as a result, for following God's servant. All of the things that he could have done for Paul. Paul needed a companion. He was standing in front of Barabbas. And John Luke, had literally just gotten homesick and anxiety and said, I'm going home. And he goes home. And he goes home to his mother. And Paul said, this is absurd. So at the latter part of Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 16, he's talking to Barabbas and he's saying, Barabbas is trying to convince Paul to bring John Luke back into the situation. John would later write an epistle. But at this particular point, he was a little bit of a greenhorn. So Paul said, I don't have anything to do with him. And Paul and Barabbas have a little bit of an argument because Barabbas is trying to persuade Paul to give John Mark another chance. And Paul says, I'll have nothing to do with him. He let me down. We'll have nothing to do with him. And John literally just got homesick and just went home to his mother. Demas did the same thing to Paul, but for a different reason, he agapoed the world. We have to be careful that as we say we love God, we know what we're talking about. You have to know what you're talking about. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. When you say you love the Lord, He's going to test you on that. Now, I don't care if you're not a preacher or a song leader or whatever it is you are. If you say that you love God, He's going to test you on it. If you say that you have the love of God in your heart, He's going to test you on it. If you say that you love one another, He's going to test you on it. And He alone knows what's really in your heart. In John chapter go back to John, the book of John. The last chapter, chapter 21. Jesus is sitting down and he's talking to his disciples. And in verse 15 of John chapter 21, I apologize. He says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?'" And he says, agapo. In the Greek, this is agapo. Now, they were speaking Aramaic, so they didn't necessarily have the same words, but the Bible is true, right? So this is the word of God that we have, and it's this that we'll base our faith on. He says, "So then they dined with Jesus. 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?'" He says, "Do you agape me more than these?" So he's making a distinction. Do you have divine love for me more than these people around you? And Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I have love, that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Then feed my lambs." And then a little time went on, and Jesus says in verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, though thou knowest I love thy sheep." And he saith unto him, "Then feed my sheep." A little bit of time goes on, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he switches it to phileo. So he says, "Jonas, Peter, do you agape me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." Okay, all right. Then a little bit, he says, "Peter, do you agape me?" He says, "Oh, yes, of course I do." And then he says, "Peter, do you phileo me?" And Peter says, and then Peter was grieved, and because he said unto him, a third time, "Lovest thou me?" In verse 17, "Thou sayest all things. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Then feed my sheep." Jesus was trying to get into the very innermost being of Peter, the kind of love that was encapsulating Peter's life. Because at this point in time, he did not have the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, "Peter, what kind of love do you really have for me? Do you agape me?" He said, "Yes, of course I do." "Do you agape me?" "Yes, of course I do." "Do you phileo me? Why are you asking me this?" In 1 Kings 11, you don't have to turn there, it says that somebody warning King Solomon, the wisest man on the earth, "Neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart away after gods." Solomon clave unto these in love. Solomon claved unto the wives that he had in this particular portion of the scripture in love, which is the Hebrew equivalent of agape. He claved unto his wives in love, in the wrong kind of love, and it turned his heart from God. You can love the world and it turn your heart away from God, all the while saying, "Lord, I love you. I love him. I love him." All the while, your love is misconstrued. And you love the world more than you love God. It happened to Demas. It happened to Solomon. It can happen to you and me. We love the things of the world more than of God. And the Bible says if you love the world more than you love God, then the love of God, the agapo love of God, is not even in you. And Jesus was trying to press into Peter's soul and into his mind and try to get him to comprehend, what love do you really have for me? What is it that you are saying? And do your actions follow what you're saying? Is your life portraying what you're saying? What kind of love do you have for me? And it was the exact same thing. And it says, the scripture says, if you love the world more than you love God, then the love of God is not even in you. And in this day and age, it said that people would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So because of the enticement of the world without, we miss the distinction between the church of the living God and this local church. And we have an association with the local church instead of with the Spirit of God, allowing Him to move us into worship, into reverence, into reading His Word, into all of these things, because our love is messed up, and we have an agape love with the world instead of with Christ. So we say, we love the Lord. Lord, I love You. I love You so much. When really, in reality, we don't even understand what we're saying. It happened to Demas. It'll happen to us. Brother Branham, as I try to bring this to somewhat of a close, because of the prophetic ministry that we have in this day and age, we know that in Deuteronomy, God says to His people in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all the people that are on the face of the earth." In Ephesians 1:4, in the same way that God spoke to the children of Israel, He speaks to you this morning. Ephesians 1:4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." So in the same way that He chose the children of Israel, He chose us so that we could be holy and blameless before Him in agape love. So that we could be before Him in love. He chose us before the foundation of the world in love. The Holy Spirit is love. And so He chose us before anything ever was. Now Moses, the ministry of Moses, was to restore the children of Israel back to a place where God could have communion and unity with them in perfect love. He could not do that while they were in Goshen, in captivity, in bondage. So Moses' ministry frees them and restores them back to a place where God could deal with them. But Moses was not the one that led them into the promised land. Joshua was the one that led them into the promised land. And Brother Branham says Moses' ministry brought them out of the wilderness and set them in place where they were now restored back to God as it was as God intended it to be. But now Joshua as a type, the Moses' ministry fades away, and Joshua as a type of the Holy Spirit, because it can be nothing less. It can be nothing less than the Holy Spirit as a type of Joshua. He leads the church into the perfect possession of their land where God wants them to be, so that He can bring them into the unity of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings them into unity of the Spirit. He brings them into the place of where they are born again. They are placed positionally with God. And when you are born into the kingdom of God, then all death has passed away. There is now no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now you are perfect and blameless before Him in love, because the love of God was projected to you and it became sovereign grace. So as Christ died on the cross for you, He projected His love to you, because God is love, as it says in 1 John 4. So as God is love, He projected it to you in the form of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so should you love one another." We know as a result of the ministry that we've had in this age from the prophet, we have an understanding of the Godhead. That it's not three separate persons, but as the Father hath loved the Son. The Son came from the very bosom of the Father. The Son was the Father in attribute, in deity. He was everything that the Father was, because the Father poured Himself into the Son. So as the Son projected Himself, He was displaying the very love of God, the attributes of God to the world. And as a result of Him displaying that love to the world, sovereign grace took its place. It became grace to us. We were no longer under subjection to the law. Just rouse yourself just long enough to listen to me. We are no longer under subjection to the law. We are under subjection to the grace of Almighty God. And it is sovereign love that took that place, so that love took the place of our sin. And so it is now the same as we are associated with the kingdom of God. It is now the love of God in the form of the attributes of God. Faith, virtue, and all of these things that we add to our faith. The capstone of it all is love. So as the Holy Spirit comes down, and as Moses' ministry led us back out into a restoration, the last age was Philadelphia, the root of which is phileo, brotherly love. So as the Philadelphian age was phileo, brotherly kindness is not the only thing that's going to get you there. Although as a result of the capstone love ministry, we love one another as we ought to love one another. But brotherly love is not where it's at, because it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by a revelation, faith, that we are saved. It is through grace that we are saved, through faith. So as the capstone comes down, it is a revelation that we see. It is the love of God that is brought down to us. It is love, the capstone of love. Amen. The capstone is not love. The capstone is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is love, because God is love. And God and the Holy Spirit are one and the same thing. So as the capstone comes down, love is projected. And as love is projected, it cut your soul and it cut your heart, and sovereign grace just popped up. As a result of the love of God shed abroad for us, which was the purpose of God. For God so loved the world that He gave. The end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. Because God loved, so we loved. Because God loved us first, so we love. We love because God loved. It's all about the love of God. But if it's about us loving one another first, then we have fallen short. And we will continue to do so. Amen. Zerubbabel looked at the capstone coming down in the vision in Zechariah chapter 4. And he saw it coming down on top of the pyramid. And the only thing that he could think of to shout out to this capping, this completion of the pyramid, is he looked at it and he said, "Grace, grace unto it." That's the only thing that he could think of, because it was love being projected and great grace took its place. So it was grace that popped up inside of you. It was grace that brought you to where you are. It is grace that will get you to the rest of the way. Amen. It is grace that set you here this morning. It's grace that placed you into the kingdom of God. It's grace that love abides in you. It'll be grace that will bring us the rest of the way. Amen. That's why Zerubbabel, the only thing that he could say, "Grace, grace unto it," as the capstone comes down. It's capstone love. And as Moses led them out of the wilderness and brought them into a restoration period, the Holy Spirit leads them into their promised land. And He sets their feet into the place. In Jude, chapter 1:21, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You love because He first loved you. And I think out of a lot of churches that I know, I see love working one amongst another. We are called to that love among brethren. We have a church within that we love and that we do things for, but then we are called to be love to the rest of the world by going out and fulfilling the commission, to preach the gospel to the world. And in so doing, by those works, we express the love of God. We express the attributes of God to the world. That is how we become a light to the rest of the world. You just living and being yourself is expressing God to the rest of the world. But as a result of the ministry of the last days, love has taken its full preeminence in us. It's come in and it's placed in us, in our hearts, so that it is not us who loves, it is He who loves through us. And he says, love one another as the Father hath loved me. Well, we can't love with that kind of love. We can't do that. We're incapable of doing that. But as the Father expressed himself through the Son, and love was expressed through the Son, and grace was expressed as a result, so must we express the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. And as a result, love will be expressed one towards another. And as iron sharpens iron, as we go on farther and farther, we express the love of God. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Are you listening to me? I'll read it again just so we're very clear. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that's about everything right there, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As we are in Christ, so the love of God is in us. Timothy, all I want you to understand, now I'm going to tell you a lot of different things, but the one thing that I want you to understand, and this one thing that Jesus said, as at the end of the commandment and the new commandment that I give to you, you must love one another as Christ has loved the church. This is the thing that I give to you. And so as I teach you, just as Christ taught me, all of these things that I'm going to teach you, they're so vitally important that you add to it and that you bring these things on. But this one thing you must get straight. And this is the end result that you must have. Love out of a pure heart and a good conscience. Later in Romans 12, he says to the Romans, let your love be without dissimulation. Let your love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't phileo somebody and then do another thing. Let your love be of a pure heart, a good conscience, and with faith unfeigned. Love pushes faith out onto the forefront. There is nothing, nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You say, well, my family member did this. My family member is doing this. My life is in this place. I have done this. I am mixed up in this. I am doing this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So let your love be of a pure heart. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But God is also a God of wrath. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So let's be in Christ Jesus. He says, in this that you know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Would you bow your heads with me? The musicians can come, Brother Barry, if you want to come. Heavenly Father, help us to be persuaded that nothing could separate us from the love of God. But let us also be persuaded, as Paul warned Timothy, that our love would be of a pure heart and that it would be not misconstrued with a phileo love. That we say we love you, but in actuality we love the world. You called us to be separators, but we are not isolated from the world. We live in the midst of Satan's Eden. So let us love out of a pure heart. Lord, take every aspect of our lives and push it out. Whatever is not fit to be there, so that we can love with a good conscience. Would you do that, Lord? And out of anything that we could say this morning, we can preach, we can teach. Lord, how we thank you for your love. Your Bible is your love letter to us. So, Lord, teach us just to be willing to read it, to really sit down and read it. Teach us to let the love of God rain down on us, not be so caught up with everything else around us, but to just be loved. It's help us to understand that it's okay to be loved. Not a gushy kind of love, but the love of a real father. Someone who's willing to correct. Someone who's not afraid to say, you're wrong, you need to straighten up. That's real love. Help us just to be loved. And let it not be us that does the loving, let it be you that does the loving through us. Let us be an expression. And that is nothing but the grace of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. This one thing we know, that Jesus loves me so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
I've learned to trust in God through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. I've had many questions for tomorrow. Many times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gives blessed consolation that my trials only come.
Branham comes along and he says, the most powerful weapon you have in your arsenal, the most powerful weapon you have at your disposal is love. The most powerful thing. That's quite a statement, really. I believe that there's things about the love of God that we've never really tapped into, or maybe we don't really understand. And I appreciate the word this morning because, it reminds us of the fact that this is all about, a relationship that Christ wanted to have with us. It's not about, who's got the biggest church or how much doctrine do we know and those kinds of things. Let me tell you, at the end of the day, what this message produces is a people that love God. They love God, and if you love God, you're going to love the right people. You're going to love one another. You're going to have the right kind of compassion for people. You're going to have the right kind of attitude towards people that do you wrong. There's all kinds of things that come in the package of divine love. And I think God's blessed us in allowing His love to be understood, partially understood at least, because I don't think we get the full depth of it. But He loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Why don't we close and sing that this morning? That's a great statement that Steve made there by Towser. Let's sing it this morning.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence this morning, we're just reminded, Lord, it's just sometimes good for us to be stirred, to remember how powerful a thing the love of God is. It expresses itself on the cross and how You died for us and You laid down Your life that we might live and live with You forever, that we might be reconciled back to You again. But Lord, it also shows itself in many other ways, in Your patience, in Your care, in Your provision for us. It helps us, Lord, to be able to tolerate the intolerable. And Lord, it helps us to keep pressing on because we want to come to You. We want to be with You forever, Lord. We love You with all of our heart. Forgive us, Lord, of the ways maybe sometimes that we shut off our love towards others. And Lord, I pray that we might have a more open heart, a more open mind to deal with others, Lord, especially those that need a touch from You. Father, we just pray now that Your Holy Spirit would deal with every heart. Because, Lord, the first place I believe that we show our love, our Christian love, is among ourselves, Lord, our families and the family of God here. And I pray, dear God, that You would help us to do that. May we not shut up, Lord, our compassion, but may we open all that we have, Lord, to be able to give to one another. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, because we experience that and we see that and we appreciate that so much. Thank You, Lord, for the word today. It always challenges us. It always reminds us of how great You are and how much You provided for us. And we thank You, Lord. We ask now Your blessing upon our fellowship this afternoon and our time together, Lord. And may you just dwell among us. And Lord, just continue to deal with our hearts until we meet again this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Sing a little chorus, He Has Forgiven Me. Sing it as you go this morning. May God bless you.
He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from His memory.
thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks.